This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. It's time for our monthly rundown of new food scene openings. We have not one, not two, but six new coffee shops that have opened in time for fall. We also have some notable closings, and that includes not just restaurants, but the shuttering of St. Louis food magazine, Feast. Joining me now to talk about that all is STLPR digital editor Jessica Rogan. Jessica, thanks for being here again.
Hey, Elaine.
And STLPR morning newscaster and host of The Gateway, Abby Larico. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
So last month, we talked briefly about Mom's Deli reopening in a new location on Hampton Avenue. And this was after months of uncertainty about whether and where it would return. And you mentioned, Jessica, how people waited in line for more than an hour to get a sandwich. So a month in, do you know whether there's still long lines at Mom's Deli?
I have no personal experience, but like I know St. Louis, there's long lines there for sure, for sure.
People are very devoted to their meals between bread here, aren't they?
Meals between bread. Like that. Yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to find a sandwich shop without a line, especially some of these local favorites during the lunch hour. So
yeah. So what is good there? We kind of teased in our promos and the billboard about the mother's sandwich, but what else do people go there for, Jessica?
So I think that the mom special is the thing. So this is kind of what I like to call an all the meats sandwich. So it's like turkey, ham, roast beef, what they call pizza cheese. And
what is pizza cheese?
Pizza cheese, otherwise known as Provol.
Mm. Oh, okay.
But not the branded one, I assume. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has the menu changed at all, as far as you know, or is it?
So, no. That was a deliberate, like, we are not going to change it. So, when it first opened, we visited and we spoke to the store manager. And one of the first things she said was, it's same. Mm-hmm. Like they're even sourcing like the meat from the same place.
Yeah.
The recipes are the same. And they did have to get new cheese.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. It's not being made anymore.
Okay. Hmm. Well, is the vibe different in any way or is the new location similar to the old one?
Well, you know, it's a new space. If you'd been to the old one, it kind of looked like you were going into someone's house.
Oh, okay.
And like it had just been there a long time. So it's not like that. But, you know, this is St. Louis. We love our old spaces and we love our new, storefront cafes. And this is more of the latter, but like still got that same spirit for sure.
So cooler temperatures finally. Today and a little bit yesterday, we've got them. So that means a lot of folks are going to be looking for a spot to get cozy with a steaming mug of coffee or tea. And fortunately for us, September brought a lot of new coffee shops to the region. First, we have the Daily Drip Coffee Cafe in Old North. And it's something that's been founded by a former social worker named Marion Evans. What do we know about her vision for the cafe, Jessica?
Yeah, so she wanted to create a space where people could come together. I think a natural extension of that profession for sure. And it's a real like family business. Her husband is making the pastries.
From scratch.
So I just love that.
And I think they've got a GoFundMe going because this cafe does not yet have an espresso machine. But I love that it's a cafe that's located in a neighborhood that was one of the first ones I visited when I moved to St. Louis in 2014. So I'm looking forward to going to check it out over there. There's also there are two different coffee shops that are aiming to bring an international coffee experience to West County. That's Colombian Brews at Zendia Coffee in Clayton, and then Yemeni Coffee at Kawati Coffee, that is, in Ellisville. Abby, Is there anything that's unique about either of these cafes?
Well, as you mentioned, the international vibe for both of those is kind of what they're leading with there. So you have Colombian coffee at Zencia, which is, you know, strong, intense, flavorful, and they're really leaning into that. But they are also aiming to make that space there in Clayton kind of a classic coffee shop that you go to for local art exhibitions on the walls and music and things like that. Kahwa Tea Coffee is, it's open late, which that's something that you don't really have a ton of in the St. Louis area, unfortunately. Yeah. And that's partially a nod to Yemeni culture where, you know, cocktails and things like that, the bar scene isn't really as big. So they stay open and go to coffee shops. And I have not been here yet, but it is definitely a vibe. And the whole place pays homage to what is widely considered the birthplace of coffee, specifically Al Mocha, Yemen. So if you are a true lover of coffee as a craft, that one's got to be on your list.
Do either of you have any insight into why coffee places are not open late in the St. Louis area?
Why is so much not open late in the St. Louis area? I wonder, you know, this town does have a reputation for things being kind of closed a little earlier. Sometimes even coffee shops will close by like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also like coffee, you know, I think we're talking about, to state the obvious, we need a first thing in the morning. And I guess some places don't want to stay open all day.
What I would like as the morning newscaster is more places open before 3 a.m. Let's get Elaine.
Well, I mean, that's one side of it. It's early for some and late for others.
There you
so go. Now, there's a beloved Tower Grove South coffee spot, Road Crew Coffee on Morgan Ford, and it's getting a new life this fall. First of all, Abby, what made Road Crew so popular?
Well, the name Road Crew is related to the cycling culture there. And so it's not just like a hot spot for cycling meetups and things like that, but also the shop there. You could get a bike, work on your bike, you know, get gear to wear on your bike. No pun intended, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's very much like a cool spot. And it felt very neighborhood at the same time. It was very cool in the inside. And the people there are super nice.
Are their windows really big?
They do have really big windows, so you can see the really cool bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm glad you mentioned the people, Abby, because the new owners, Upshot Flyby, actually retained a lot of the staff, which is just, like, really nice and speaks to that, like, community vibe that they still have going very strong.
Mm-hmm. I want to come back into the city a little bit and talk about a place in the Hill. There's a new coffee shop located within the Bissinger's Chocolate Factory called, wait for it, the Chocolate Cafe. Is this a cafe to hit up if you have a sweet tooth, Jessica?
I can't imagine any other reason to go there. So this is actually in the Chocolate Factory. So Chocolate and Bissinger's like merged in 22. I think actually the Chocolate, how many times did I say chocolate?
Chocolate. Use your fingers.
bought Bissinger's. And so they'd had the factory there. And by the way, you can do an amazing factory tour. And now this was sort of a reframing of the cafe. And one thing that interests me is, like, you know, it is like food, coffee, as you might expect, but they're going to be adding wine pairings, which, you know, I'm all for the wine. I'm assuming the pairing with chocolate, so I'm down.
Yeah. And have either of you been on that tour?
Not yet. It is on my list.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do they give you chocolate?
Yes, of course.
Oh my gosh. that's good to know. And last but not least, in Alton, Fuddle Duddle Coffee Company, or Co., it opened within the Old Bakery Beer Co. Over there. And it's a roastery that is focused on organically grown coffees. I think they're emphasizing, you know, the unique flavors of single origin beans, but they're offering blends for people to try. I went out to Alton to sample fried chicken. So now I can make it a whole day trip and get my coffee and then have some chicken and maybe go have some beer.
There you go.
So there's some other openings around the area. Jessica, tell us about one in the Central West End, which also has cafe in the name of the place.
So I think you're thinking of the Noteworthy Culture Center and Cafe. Yeah. So if you've heard of a piano bar, this is kind of a piano cafe. Hmm. So it is from Jackson Pianos, which is a piano manufacturer. And they opened the cafe pretty close to their showroom, and with the idea that they wanted a space where they could have live music and coffee. I love this so much.
Yeah.
They also seem to be doing a lot of yoga, so piano yoga.
Amazing.
It looks really fun. I haven't been yet, but they do have this really big outdoor, beautiful space. Mm. With a garden, and if you're interested in seeing like what kind of live events they have, Instagram. Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back very shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Let's return to our monthly roundup about what's new in the St. Louis area food scene. Here to do that are Jessica Rogan, STLPR digital editor and morning newscaster and host of The Gateway here at St. Louis Public Radio, Abby Larico. Now, before the break, we covered new restaurants and cafes, all the coffee spots that opened in September. And there's one more opening that I want to get to, and it's one that is in Crestwood, I believe.
Yeah, Elaine, wanted to mention the Mexican STL. That is owned by the same folks as Twisted Tavern in St. Peter's and in Arnold and Twisted Tree Steakhouse on Watson. And that ownership group includes the Seiberg family. And so it is locally owned. I thought that was interesting to note because it's kind of a cool, funky, very high design looking building. And it's a local spot. And it seems like they have a lot of interesting cocktails and different happy hour offerings there.
Yes. And on the website, they were also the images are very sleek and they're trying to make it for everybody, right? Kids and adults included. So closings, there was a major closing within the St. Louis food regional scene. And this month marks the last issue of the food magazine Feast. The magazine's owner, Lee Enterprises, announced the decision in September. Jessica, is there any indication as to why the magazine was shuttered?
So there's no official statement from Lee, actually. Managing editor Shannon Weber announced it in an Instagram story. And because Lee never put a word out, there is no official reason. Mm. But we do know that like Lee Enterprises publications are suffering basically because Lee is in a financial crisis. Maybe crisis is a little harsh, but they've been losing money pretty steadily. And they had a major cyber attack earlier this year that cost them a lot of money. They said like in their third quarter statements that it cost them $2 million just to do like repairs.
Wow.
After that, and there were some other staff laid off at the same time. So I think we can pretty comfortably say that like this was a money decision.
Mm-hmm. Abby, can you provide a brief history of Feast for those who are not familiar with it?
Yeah, last time they were kind of the publication made news, if you will, was last November in 2024 when they ended their hard copies and they opted to go all digital. It was founded back in 2010 by Catherine Neville. She was one of the original founders of Sauce Magazine, and she went on to go to found Feast, and she's an influential voice in food media around the region, around the world, really, with her PBS work. And she expanded that, and then that continued to grow and cover, you know, across Missouri. And so it wasn't just a St. Louis publication there. And they would often highlight small towns around the state. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really renowned for that.
Yeah. So the contributions then were not just local, right, hyper-local to St. Louis, but really throughout the state as well. And this is coming on the heels of a shakeup at another local food magazine, Sauce, which you've just mentioned, Abby. Mm-hmm. And last year, Sauce laid off staff members. It put its print issue on hold. And then this summer, STL Bucket List actually acquired Sauce magazine with plans to preserve its monthly print edition, to relaunch the podcast and expand its digital reach. Do you think something similar could happen with Feast, Jessica?
I hope that it does, because, you know, Feast has a big brand, and I think someone would be interested in that. That said, there doesn't seem to be any indication that Lee is selling mm-hmm. Feast, at least at the moment. I mean, maybe if someone approached them, they would, but they have pretty much not said anything about it. They've just put up the last issue and kind of were like, this is it.
Mm-hmm. What is this that we're losing insofar as stories about food, restaurant offerings, and restaurant closings or moves, Abby?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons people turn to these types of publications is the more in-depth stories, but then also the kind of community calendar aspect of it and things to do. And Elaine, I would venture as far as saying we're not just losing something, but there's the danger of having misinformation, you could even say, in our local food diet, because mm-hmm. You know, you'll still see, if you go to Feast's website right now, there's, again, as Jessica mentioned, no disclaimer that it is ending operations, but you will see guides for things to do, or this month is Filipino American Heritage Month. Shout out to my fellow Filipinos, and all sorts of cool places you can grab Filipino food. The article they've shared to the website is from 2023 right now. And if you go to that, you'll get information about the fattened calf being an Earthbound Brewing, which it no longer is. And so you could make bad decisions on where to go out to eat based on old information if you don't check the dateline. And mm-hmm. so, again, go visit their new location, or, you know, their brick and mortar on Cherokee, right off Cherokee there. So, you know, you lose the guides and the just kind of resources that people will turn to, both if they are St. Louisans looking for something to do, or if they're visiting the region and looking to figure out where to spend their money and their time and fill their stomachs.
Well, and as a transplant back in 2014, I very much used all of these guides, free guides that were available to you know, descriptions of the food in the area to explore my new home. Mm-hmm. Well, in the spirit of sandwiches, let's close today with some of the closings that are happening, giving people the information that they need and can use. Abby, talk with us about Hot Pizza Cold Beer.
RIP. That was a downtown location by the same folks who operate High Point Drive-In, Sugar Fire Smokehouse. Interestingly, the foot traffic, it just didn't catch on, despite hot pizza, cold beer. Who doesn't love those two things, right? Especially in St. Louis, but it just didn't sustain the type of traffic that it takes to keep something like that open, even when you do see a lot of foot traffic at other downtown outposts. I want to make that clear that, you know, they still have the downtown Sugar Fire, for example. It was really good, and I really liked the hot pizza. Didn't get to try the cold beer. I was there during lunch, but, you know, maybe they'll find a new spot for that concept.
Yeah, and there's a place closer to us, Jessica, in Midtown, Anita Cafe and Bar.
I was so sad to see Anita Cafe and Bar close. Really a beautiful Mediterranean spot by Anita Abdul-Karim, who is, like, moved to the region from California. She's a nutritionist, and she wanted to make this, like, really healthy, delicious food, like, a lot of, like, loaded toasts that did feel very decadent, but also like you were doing something good for yourself. So I'm sad to see that go, and I'm hopeful that she'll like move on to something awesome and, you know, bigger. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. How did you find that place, Jessica?
So I had covered that because I edited and wrote for the food section when I was at the RFT. So I spoke with her when she first opened that and had a lot of big dreams for the space.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that speaks to what we were just talking about earlier, that discovery happens when we are able to read about some of these mm-hmm. places. Well, thank you so much for coming in today to give us this roundup of the food scene happenings. Make sure you join us again next month. And you can visit our website to see more about openings and closings at stlpr.org. STLPR digital editor Jessica Rogan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And Abby Larico is our morning newscaster and host of the Gateway podcast at St. Louis Public Radio.
See you next month.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.